Blog Talk Radio.
In town were palm trees, we'd be the one with the biggest coconuts.
Check this out, we got a great show coming your way today.
Hey, everybody, check it out!
All I can say is wow.
Lock it on to the best station on the net. Online.
God, I love the station.
I am completely in awe of him.
I'm addicted to this.
I'm excited to hear it.
You got it going on, girl.
I love you.
Hey everyone, welcome. This is Dr. Joanna Johnston. Welcome to Illuminating Minds Radio. I'm so happy to be on right now. Very excited to be back on Blog Talk Radio. All right, welcome. And I'm waiting for my special guest to appear on the show here. And he's going to be talking about his experience with a funerary home that he lives near that is extremely haunted. Ha 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 ha. So I'm very happy to be here. And it's been a long time since I've been on Blog Talk Radio. There have been some issues with calling in many times. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm in Mexico. I don't know. But I'm just very happy to be here. A lot of things have happened. My gosh, I mean, I'm on Podbean, illuminatingmindsradio.podbean.com. I'm usually on there a lot every morning at 10:30 Central Standard Time. And whenever I do my live shows, I decided to do the Blog Talk Radio. Because on Blog Talk Radio, it's just a lot of fun, and it's just easier for people to call in. Podbean is a bit hard for some people. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this. So let me see what I'm supposed to do here. See, hold on a second. I'll be right back. I'm going to check something out real quick. Hold on. Okay. I'm back online. I'm having my husband fix the AC here. It seems a little warm. I'm going to have him check it out. But yeah, I'm just so happy to be here. It's been a while. It's been very, very hectic for me this past month because I've been really bringing in a lot of folks that want to sign up for the next Secure Creditor and Silver Bullet Trust program, which is starting this Friday until May 1st. So it's been hectic. I have a lot of students just waiting to jump in. My gosh, it's been way more busier this month than it's been any other month, really. I'm just really grateful for that. I'm getting the word out for people to, you know, protect themselves because things are starting to change with the financial system. Start investing in Bitcoin, Ethereum, other altcoins, whatever you have to do for your wealth and for your children's wealth and keep your legacy going, which is like the first thing you should be doing anyway, and start protecting your assets, okay? But I'm the reason why I'm into the paranormal and all of that is because I am a psychic reader, clairvoyant, also have the ability to channel, mediumistic abilities, more of a trance medium. And my abilities began when I was really young. I started playing with the tarot cards and things were a lot different. It was really, really cool. I started with tarot cards and eventually I started realizing that I was empathic. I can feel energy around me. I've had a lot of interesting experiences with other worldly entities and I astral travel a lot. It's really cool, especially when I communicate with the entities. They help me astral travel a lot better. So, you know, I have always had a passion for the paranormal. I'm actually working towards my other degree. I already have a doctorate in metaphysics, but I'm working towards my other doctorates in metaphysical cultural anthropology, which is also paranthropology. And that's bridging anthropology and consciousness together, and which is really awesome because as we move into the new paradigm, you know, scientists are realizing and recognizing that we are consciousness. We are not just our brains. You know, just our brains reacting to stimuli, and that's all we do. We actually have consciousness. And those of you who are still skeptical of that, try meditation. And I highly suggest check out HoloSync on centerpoint.com. Just Google HoloSync, and it will take you to a really awesome place. It's a program that was created by Bill Harris. I started meditating with this technology, and I just started having amazing experiences. I've actually experienced samadhi. They also call it nirvana, where you feel one with everything. You actually realize that you're one with, like, say, the fan, the pictures, the TV. You are consciousness. Everything around you is consciousness. It's really, really, really cool. And that's when I realized, hey, there's something to this, you see. And when I meditated, the more I meditate, I became so aware. I moved into a higher level of awareness that things started coming to me easily, and I started recognizing that all I have to do is ask and things will just come to me. I don't have to try to chase anything in my life. Things will just start to happen in my life. And the more I would meditate, I would actually notice that. A lot of amazing, if you want to call it law of attraction or manifestation, if you will, because you connect with consciousness. So it's brilliant. But I'm going to go ahead and bring my special guest. He goes by Lord Byron. And I'm extremely happy to have him on. So let's see. Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Hello? Hey, it's going great. How are you doing, Lord Byron? And welcome to the show on Illuminating Minds Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
I just wanted to say, yeah, you're very welcome. I just wanted to read for everyone just kind of like what you wrote me earlier. Just basically, you know, to introduce everybody that you grew up on a small island with wild ponies in Virginia, and the house that you grew up in, it was an old funeral home, which no one told you about because you were kids. And at the time, there was over like 100 bodies being stored and worked on. And as you can imagine, you said that this house is like a literal portal to the other side, and your brother and you would see spirits at times, and your parents would tell you it was just your imagination and your minds would be playing tricks on you. And just a lot of interesting things, and I find that to be exciting. and that you originally got into magic when you were in third grade, right after you were baptized as a Mormon, and you weren't even Mormon. And you can carry it on. You can carry it on with your story. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, one thing that I just found out, too, so the grimoire that got me into magic, I read it in third and fourth grade, and I had a crystal ball and everything, and was Francis Barrett's The Magus. And I just found out, like, yeah, I just it was a hard read when you're a little kid, man. That is not easy when you're a little kid, you know. And so I just found out, like, a month or two ago, because you know how Joseph Smith was a magician. I just found out that Francis Barrett's The Magus was the book that got Joseph Smith into magic. And it was the first book that I got into in magic right after I was baptized.
Holy cow. Right after you got baptized, you just jumped right into magic, right?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Because there's something weird about that church that just cranks out magicians, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I actually was told about it, that it had a lot of symbology in the Mormon temple. I never walked into the Mormon temple myself, but I heard there was a lot of symbology that was very Rosicrucian, alchemical, all of that.
Yeah, apparently before Joseph Smith died, it was almost a mystical order, and then it became like more of a religion after he died.
Oh, wow. So it was kind of like a
allegedly,
secret mystery
school. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I just thought it was interesting, you know, because, you know, like E.A. Quetting, like he was a Mormon. J.D. Temple was a Mormon. Like there's a bunch of the magicians online. So many of them came from Mormon backgrounds. And we weren't even Mormon. We were only there for a few, like maybe half a year, maybe a year. It was weird.
Wow. That is interesting. Why do you think that is? You think that because it has some type of a lineage, like an occult lineage? You were saying,
you know, I almost think it's the spirit of Joseph Smith or something, or the Joseph Smith thought form or something, you know, but it's weird. It's something I noticed a long time ago that religion cranks out magicians. In fact, when I heard the story about Francis Barrett's The Magus getting Joseph Smith into magic, it was an ex-Mormon that was talking about it. He lives like right outside of Salt Lake City.
Holy moly. Yeah, I was following E.A. Quetting. I really liked it. I liked his work. It was because of him. He opened me up to a lot of things. And just being very powerful as a magician because, you know, my background, I was part of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. It was actually the Esoteric Order of the Golden Dawn, and the lineage was Israel Regardy at the time. Israel Regardy ended up, you know, he did join the Stella Matina years after Aleister Crowley left. Or died or whatever, but really it was under that lineage. And so I understand it was wonderful for a while, but I got tired of the whole, you know, corruption involved, you know, a lot of the power hungry magicians trying to control. No, you're supposed to be in this level, not on that level and that type of crap. And I've been in a specific level for a very long time. And I just felt like I wasn't going anywhere as a magician with them. So I just started working with E.A. Quetting's work, and I just noticed amazing stuff happening working with Azazel and other entities. Miracles. So go ahead.
Yeah, you know, that's the whole reason why I never joined, like, a lodge or a group or anything from it was, you know, because there's a lot of those power plays, and if you start getting, like, people get jealous, and if you learn really fast, they're going to try to stifle you, you know, and then...
Oh, yes. I think that's what they did with Aleister Crowley. They tried to stifle him, and he went through the ranks so freaking fast.
Yeah.
Possibly. But, wow, that's very interesting. So you were saying that you had an experience. You grew up in a funeral home?
Yeah, well, it used to be a funeral home. It wasn't like an operating funeral home when we were there, but it was it was a family hub. You know, that's where all the family went to meet up. It was actually my grandparents' house. And, yeah, I mean, you see spirits all the time. And it was funny, when I was getting ready for this interview, I was looking at the house on Google Earth, and you can just see it just oozing. You know, you can see it, like, literally from Google Earth. You can tell that there's stuff going on there.
Wow. What did you experience?
You know, just, you know, seeing spirits all the time. Like every time you woke up, there'd be someone staring at you, like standing over you, you know, just a lot of the basic stuff like that. But probably like one of the weirder things that I experienced there, and it's not even like spiritual related, but it just kind of shows you the kind of omen about this place, was there's one day, it was the middle of summer, there was a rain cloud over the house and directly over this house, and like right next door at the neighbor's house, it is literally the rain cloud was only over our house, you know.
Wow.
So we would like sit there and like, you know, jump in the side that wasn't raining, jump in the side that was raining, but it was like literally like right up the edge of the street and on both sides of the neighbor's house, it was just raining right over it. And I remember thinking like back then that was weird.
Wow. That would be kind of weird over there, but I'm going to tell you something about here in the Yucatan. You know, I live in the Yucatan near the Mayan pyramids, and we have a lot of like tropical storms. And my husband would say something really funny. He's from England, right? Because, you know, it's just like in the United States or in, California, where I'm from, and he's from England. He's like, when it rains, the whole sky's raining, right? You don't see a little cloud separate from another cloud, but you see that here. And you see one cloud, it's raining over one little spot, and then you see another spot where it's just, like, totally sunny. So it wouldn't be that unusual for us. But, yeah, I mean, over there it would be pretty unusual. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, well, it was midday. So, like, on the eastern shore in Virginia, it's sort of like what you're talking about. But, like, the storm would come in every single night around the same time. But this wasn't one of those situations. This was just, like, a rain cloud over the house.
Oh man,
yeah.
That is freaky. That's freaky.
Yeah.
So and what? I mean, what other? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know.
No, I just wanted to tell you, Lord Byron. I just wanted to say I'm sorry. I think there's a delay with my voice. I don't know. It's not you though. It's me. So if there's a delay, I do apologize. It's probably because I'm way down in the south. Way down in the south. But yes, you can continue.
Okay. So every house we've ever lived in was basically haunted. So, you know, that's one of those things where you got to ask yourself, you know, what's the common denominator, you know? But one of the weirdest places that I lived in is, you know, because I kind of put magic on the shelf and, you know, because I had a reasonably traumatic childhood. And so in my 20s, you know, I was drinking a lot. And I was also playing in metal bands, and I was living in a college town. So even though I drank a lot, I would say it's kind of par for the course, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we were living in this apartment, my girlfriend and I, and, you know, a lot of bad things happened in that apartment, and we both just got really wrecked really quick. And then this one time we smoked some DMT, and we saw this woman hanging from a ceiling fan in the dining room. And it wasn't like a scary thing. You know, it was just like part of the background. But check this out. When we were moving out of the apartment, it was the middle of summer, and I noticed that every single apartment near mine had a ceiling fan in the dining room. Mine was the only one that didn't.
Mm-hmm. I'll say that again one more time. You kind of cut out right there.
When we were moving out of the apartment, it was in the middle of summer, and I noticed that every single apartment near mine had a ceiling fan. Mine was the only one that didn't have a ceiling fan in the dining room.
Whoa.
Where the person hung themselves.
Oh my gosh. So, wow.
Yeah.
So it was another ceiling fan you're talking about that they hung themselves? What a trip.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And then after we moved out, it was like everything all of a sudden got better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like everything, you know, we just, the whole experience there just kind of felt like a bad dream.
Oh my gosh. So how did you ever deal with it? I mean, did you get into magic and learn to protect yourself or?
Yeah. Well, so after we moved out, as fate would have it, I had a roommate and we had a falling out and real douchebag. And he put a curse on me. And it was like one of those things where it's like, you know, you can't just go to the cops, you know. Like, oh, this guy put a curse on me. You got to go stop it, you know.
Yeah.
And
right.
And that was crazy, though, because it was like, you know, like, 666 just kept popping up everywhere, and it was just like a tornado of chaos. And we had all these omens and stuff. Birds started flying into our windows when we would drive. Birds would fly into the windows of the car, and yeah, that was a trip.
Oh my!
I mean, that was weird. And then when we got rid of it, like, everything just stopped, you know?
Wow. Oh, my husband wants to say something. Darren?
we've had some things with magic. And let me just explain something quickly to you. That from my experience for protection, without going too much into it, what I did years ago when I first got into it, I automatically did this to protect myself, and I've noticed through time stuff has just been bouncing off me. Just no problem. It's going back to because I had something done to me from another guy, and he saw it. What I did was I created a shield inside my heart with intention to repel any magic thrown at me from any realm, anywhere. So basically it protects me and anybody else that's within my vicinity. So if you have a strong enough intention and belief when you create this, because that's what magic's all about.
It's a platform.
And obviously once you learn and understand how advanced you can get, because even though the elite uses magic every day for their bullshit, but we can do it as well. Because we are built this way. It's just that we haven't been told how to, because they want to keep all the power themselves. But what I did was I created a shield in my heart, and it's protecting my heart and everything else around it. Because obviously you get your thought of what it is and your feeling of it already being protecting you, and then just know after then, have unwavering faith that it's going to protect you until you pass over.
Yep.
So I've found out ever since then, 10 years later, I've still got shit bouncing off me. And my wife seems to get hit by somebody once in a while throwing magic at her. She can. We can tell because we are magicians.
Yeah, you can tell right
so,
away.
Exactly. So, but stuff just bounces off me. But when she's near me in my vicinity, it protects her as well. So if you can just do that, it's going to prevent anything from penetrating your aura, because you are the master. You are the God. Because you were given God. You were given God's power. So start creating a shield. It's that simple.
You know, it's funny that you say that, too, because I think that's one of the main reasons why magic works so well and why spirits listen to us. Because, you know, from a logical standpoint, it doesn't make sense that some of these entities are really powerful, but you can just say a couple of words and banish them hard, you know? And then you can
of course.
Burn a stick of incense and ask them to, like, help you out, and they will help you out. Like, every single time they will help you out. And I think the reason why is because the Creator gave us dominion over this realm, and now, it's also how the law really works. When you start learning, like, the real law, it's because, like, we are given dominion over this realm.
Yeah. There's only three laws. As long as you don't cause anybody harm, loss, or injury, anything else is just statute bullshit that they've added to it. And the first fundamental universal law is you cannot mess with free will.
Yeah.
That's the first and foremost.
Another thing you mentioned I think was pretty important is, you know, putting the shield around the heart and just focusing on the heart chakra in general. Because, you know, like everyone always talks about, like, the third eye, you know, like open your third eye. And I kind of think, maybe it's just because I'm naturally kind of more clairvoyant, but I kind of think, like, that you kind of get more psychic from the heart chakra almost more than the third eye. Like, when you work on your heart chakra, I think...
I think it
almost doubles your psychic potential, you know?
Because when you think about it, really, all it is, I mean, your heart chakra, your heart yourself, it's the motor that keeps everything going. All the brain is, the mind is, it's the computer, it's the processor, it's the thing that gives commands, because
Yeah, and the heart is also another brain. They call it the second brain.
Yes, the second brain, because both actually give off light. You have your four ventricles in your heart, and in the center, it gives off a bright light, just like your pineal gland does when it's activated. And that's all down to the cerebrum secretion from your sexual organs that goes up your back into your brain.
Yeah, sir. Go ahead.
But definitely. Do you want to add more to that?
No.
Yeah.
I totally
just forgot what I was about ready to say, but when you're talking about the heart being the second brain, your heart sends more signals to your brain than your brain does to the heart. It's the only organ in the body that does that. You know?
Exactly. Because it's the
and you also have a brain in your gut.
Yeah.
And you also have a brain
in
your gut.
It feels like that. It's strange because it always felt like that for me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when something bad is about to happen, your gut just, what the heck?
The gut's always right.
Felt like that.
Yeah, that's one thing that sucks about going through school,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, that's one thing that sucks about going through school, because they teach you to not listen to that intuition, mm-hmm. but your gut is always right. Every time I ignore my gut, I always regret it. Every time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know exactly. Definitely. But that's really, really, really interesting. So, like, how long did you experience a lot of these hauntings?
Pretty much my whole life, you know. And even when we just moved into this house, there was an entity in here, you know, that I just got rid of it, you know, the other day.
Oh, wow. What happened?
I mean, nothing really. I just started feeling really sluggish, and I kept seeing stuff out of the corner of my eyes everywhere I went. And so I got rid of it. And one thing I did, too, is, you know, because I have like a million radionics boxes everywhere, I took just a bundle of sage, and then I programmed it with radionics, you know, with Archangel Michael,
right.
like a
mm-hmm.
piece of selenite and a picture of the sun, just purifying stuff, you know, stuff that's going to banish and purify.
Mm-hmm.
And so it works basically as good as like
powerful.
The salt water does.
Definitely.
And then, so when you were talking about earlier about using spirits for like astral projection and everything. No, this is something a lot of people really don't know you can do with radionics, and it's one of the most potent things I think there is for it. But I made a servitor to help with astral projection and spirit communication, and then I used radionics, and I spliced it with other spirits, like attributes from other spirits, but then I spliced it with the psychedelic properties of Mimosa hostilis bark, which contains DMT, and Akasha bark, which contains DMT.
Whoa.
And So then I made my girlfriend is a wire wrapper. She made me a obsidian scrying mirror necklace, and then I programmed it with that servitor. And, I mean, just wearing this, you know, you start seeing stuff, hallucinating.
Wow, so it makes your astral travels even more profound.
Yeah, I always wear it when I'm doing magic now. And I don't really wear it outside
awesome.
The house because it's so big and everything. And I'm living in Utah now, and I don't want to freak people out too much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. My gosh. Yeah, I mean, I know about – I just wanted to bring about Yay Quitting really quick. I mean, I know he was going through some serious shit recently, like with the law.
Oh, yeah. Well,
sure,
he's always under
that.
Magical attack, you know. It's just one of those
mm-hmm.
things. So many people that do black magic – you know, and I kind of prefer, like, darker magic myself, but so many people that do that
right.
stuff are just kind of like these ankle-biting bottom feeders, you know, and everyone wants to take down
yeah.
the man, you know? So he's, like, always under
mm-hmm.
magical attack. And if he wasn't the real deal, he would be dead. I mean, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, he's survived a lot. I mean, he's gone through so much, like, even on the news, just all this stuff trying to, you know, blame him for a bunch of shit on the media, which is bullshit, because
yeah.
These two women got murdered in England.
And get him in jail
Yeah, they even threw him in jail one time saying it was drugs. Anything that they're trying to throw, it's because the fact that he has it, he understands it, that, you know, as a magician, number one, there's really no black or white. I mean, yes, I understand there's evil magic, evil, you know, when you're attacking people, just being an asshole and just
like
going after people like the elite. When you're a magician, you own the power within yourself. You do white, black, gray. It doesn't matter. There is no color. You just act in ways that you're supposed to. But he understood that part, because in Wicca, all these other belief systems like Wicca, it's all sugar-coated, fluffy bunny stuff, because they don't want people to come into their own power, you know, as real warriors. And that's where he came into play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then Wicca, you know, like that threefold law that everyone keeps talking about, it's kind of been like mistranslated. I think it comes from either the second or third degree of the initiation of Wicca, but it's not like if you put something out, you're going to get it three times back. If someone does some harm to you, you have to return it threefold.
Right. I think they Christianized it, you know, because when they bring in the new people, they throw that because they don't want any magic on their butts. That's why. Because I've dealt in the realm of, you know, I'm more left-hand path. I've dealt with left-hand path with many years, and my life completely changed for the better when I started moving in that direction. And I've actually seen a lot of miracles happen, a lot of positive things happen, help me out of depression, help me with success in my life. And, you know, and I still utilize all different types of angels. It doesn't matter what they are, because to me, they're kind of the same. But I believe that a lot of these, like people that are into the dark, like evil magic, they're actually conjuring up a lot of parasitical spirits that feed on their energy. Mm. And they're malevolent spirits that are just, they cause a lot of problems, and they think that they're contacting something that is powerful for them, you know?
Some people also just kind of allow themselves to become really polarized, and, you know, like people on the left-hand path side, they're, like, triggered by, like, angels and stuff and, you know, purifying their body. You know, it's sort of like when you see it in the metal scene, you know, like, everyone wants to be, like, dark and evil, you know.
No, you got to be the master of both. Like, I still work with Raphael, Mikhail, and all that, but really they're all pretty much cut from the same branch, every single one of them. And really the old gods, the ones that they say, oh, that they're devil or the demons and whatever, they are just the ancient gods before Christianity decided to Christianize all of them and
because,
say they're all demons, and they were just pagans, gods.
Because
they were
the powerful ones that actually did shit about what you want.
Yeah, they got shit. They made shit happen for real. And but then the Christian, I'm talking about the Roman Catholic Church, they came in and Christianized everything, and everything was the devil. Everything was the devil. It doesn't matter if you were a sweet little Wiccan, or it doesn't matter. Everything was. So we conjure up the old ancient gods. And really what I believe is they're all aspects of ourselves, really. They're all archetypes. They're all aspects of yourself. They're not really anything outside of us. It's everything inside of us. And we're just using them as triggers to connect with that God force within, you know. That's what I believe in.
Yeah, and they're also like angles of the zodiac too, you know. But, you know, as above, so below, you know, same thing. But from a pragmatic standpoint, demons are far – I mean, they're what you want to work with. They work so fast. They almost never say no, you know.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
They just get it done, you know.
Yeah, they and you don't have to do too much, and you don't have to worship. I mean, I've seen, like, other magicians, what they do is they create, like, these evocation symbols where they have to protect themselves with the angels, and they command them, I command you to do this for me, and that's not how I work. I work like a demonologist, where basically I work with them, like, I just deal with them as respectable entity beings. Just like any entities, you just respect them. Hello, you want a little whiskey? Here's some little cigar. How are you? You know, I'm really going through some shit. Can you please help me out? You know, whatever. You deal with them in a friendly manner, and then you get you get a shitload back.
Yeah, you make a trade.
Crazy.
You make a trade. You give them something.
Friend.
Yeah, and I've never had any backlash, anything negative happen in my life, my family, misfortunes, anything like that. And I've had experiences where I've had a couple people, one guy that tried to come after us, it was horrible in Cancun. He was coming after me, he was upset, and he was angry, and he's like, I'm going to come after you and hurt you. And then what happened, I used my radionics, and I sent out Azazel his way. And sure shit, within the hour, he hit a tree because two guys were shooting at him. in motorcycles, shot at him. He hit a freaking tree.
He got shot twice and hit a tree?
Yeah, he got shot twice, hit a tree, ended up on a hospital bed. So it was like, you know, it was, and I didn't say go hurt him. I just said send all his ugly energy back at him. It's better that way. You just return it. It's just easier, really.
Yeah, it's so much easier. It's funny because it's easier to hit someone like with a magical attack if you're reversing it than it is to actually curse them. You know, like every time I reverse a spell, it's like it's a direct hit. It just fucking nukes them.
Yeah, I love it.
Exactly. I mean, because obviously when you send out bad attacks yourself, that's going to come back on you. But if you send karma back, karma likes to kick ass.
Yeah.
She loves ass kicking.
Yeah. Well, it depends. It depends on the situation. What really makes you feel like, oh, if I do something negative, bad at somebody, it's going to come back. No. If you start feeling guilty about it, then yeah, it's your own guilt that brings it back. But if you feel like, hey, you know what? This person just freaking killed my brother. I'm going to do something. Then you have no guilt. You're like, hey, we need some justice here. Then that's a whole other thing, and nothing ever comes back to you because you know what's right and what's wrong, and you always have the power of powerful spirits to guide you.
Yeah, because,
you know,
because
help you.
Guilt is another negative feeling which absorbs the ether, and whatever you put out is going to come back at you.
Definitely. That's awesome. So how long have you been practicing magic for?
It's been an off and on thing, but I've been taking it really serious for probably about 10 years now, where I'm just kind of full throttle, not looking back, basically.
Oh, right on.
And
congratulations.
A lot of it was just having that curse put on me. And this is why you shouldn't curse people unless you know it's like the right thing to do, because you kind of create a bigger problem, you know?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Because, you know, I always
thought
like magic was more like, like power of prayer, love. Manifestation, you know, law of attraction. I always thought it was more like that. But once you feel like how physical and real and external it is, and the only way you can really feel that is through magical attack, either experiencing it or dishing it out. But once you experience that, you really realize how physical and real and tangible it is. You know, it's not, it's not just law of attraction, you know.
I've had some serious stuff thrown at me before in the past years ago. And I mean, there were times I'm like, oh my God, I felt like I could feel like something crawling up my arm and up my neck. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, it was so insane. I never experienced that in my life. And I tried to rule everything out. Like, okay, maybe it's because maybe I didn't sleep that good. Or maybe, you know, you try to rule out physical stuff, but you start to realize, oh my gosh, you know, this is the problem. So then I really got into radionics for a long time until a lot of them ended up breaking. I used the crap out of them for so long. And I mean, they were really, really powerful. But what I found out is every single time I just connect with Azazel and Belial. Those are my two like patron gods that I just connect with. And so far, just connecting with them, it's just really easy. It's been a lot easier for me than working with radionics. I mean, everybody's different. I mean, I had a friend that his name was William, and he was heavy, heavy radionics guy. I mean, that's all he ever worked with.
Was that the guy
and
that
it seemed
talked
to work
about
for him
the,
a lot.
The were-dog?
Yes, the werewolf guy.
Yeah.
I remember that interview.
Yeah, he's very powerful. I haven't heard from him in a while. I guess he just kind of things happened to him. He started realizing there's a lot of shit going on, and he just decided to move out into the forest because he saw shit going down with, you know, the United States of America, right?
Yeah.
He said, see you later. I'm going out into the forest, man.
Yeah, I think he's hiding in the woods with his magic wand.
Yeah. So, like, so how is it in Utah? Are there a lot of magicians there?
You know, there are a few occult stores. A couple of them closed down because of COVID. And nothing's moved in yet, but I can see a couple of the old stores. But you know, it's really weird. Whenever I go into a store and there's like an Exmo or a Nomo, that's like an ex Mormon or a non Mormon, Exmos and Nomos. But when you walk into a store and they see you and they can tell you're not Mormon, like obviously, like their face light up. It's kind of weird. But everyone treats me like they've known me for a while, you know.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, how are the laws going right now? I know I heard something really heavy that happened to a boy, a young kid at 20-something years old, Chad Allen. I don't know if you heard about it, but he just got murdered by some of the cops there just by driving around with deregistered plates on his car.
Oh, yeah, he only went to grab for his phone and they shot him.
They shot him up?
Yeah, that's crazy. That happened
in Cedar One.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that happened in Cedar Woolley before I left Washington. Some guy was driving. I think he didn't have insurance or something, or a license or a suspended license, and he got out of the car and tried to run. The cop shot him in the back of the head. You know, just like completely unarmed guy, just shot him in the head. Like, really? You couldn't shoot him in like the leg or the ass? You had to shoot him in the head?
Yeah, Mike, in England, tell them, hon, in England, what do they do there?
We know only in England. The cops don't really have guns in England, unless obviously it's a serious raid or something. If you're doing a drugs raid or a raid for murder or something, then obviously you've got cops that carry guns. But normally they don't carry guns, especially for traffic stops. They just have batons, they have tasers, they have spray gas. That's it. But obviously, I haven't been in England for 10 years, well, 12 years, but I was there for a short, brief moment for a few months 10 years ago. But
we visited a few times.
But the cops there, they don't get really uppity like they do in America. They're definitely not like American cops.
Yeah, they shoot you, you're unarmed and shit. That
yeah.
Heavy.
But the only time when the English cops get really in your face is if you're in a protest. If there's lots of people, then obviously they get their backs up and they're prepared to kick ass. But
yeah, COVID brought out the worst in a lot of cops. I saw a lot of horror pictures on COVID, like cops, you know, in the UK and Australia, like beating up people for not wearing masks.
Yeah, they do that. They still do that. Or at least I'd rather get beat up than friggin' shot.
Oh my! But that's so horrible. But yeah, shot.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't.
Like with Chad Allen,
I can't believe people are still wearing masks, man. I can't believe people are still wearing masks.
Same here.
Yeah.
I went to the store before, and somebody was wearing a mask. I went, dude, are you scared to fucking breathe or something? Jesus.
Even we go to the store and they're still wearing masks. I mean, I'm saying the people that work there, even at the restaurants here, they're still wearing masks. It's
yeah,
like,
the staff have a big thing. They still have to wear masks. But
And they all got vaccinated, so I don't understand. It's such an oxymoron.
Well,
yeah,
we know what happens.
Man. Like, I never really believed in brainwashing, you know, until after COVID when I saw everyone just kind of – that happened to everyone. I was like, okay, well, that's a thing, I guess. I guess that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but have you also noticed, right, the stuff the government have been coming out the last couple of years, it's just went from stupid to downright – moron, retarded shit that's coming out. What do these people think we really are? I mean, they're coming out with some stupid shit. Well, all you got to do this, you got to do that. What the fuck?
Yeah.
There's so many examples. I mean, I could go on forever, but I don't know. It's they've just went total full retard, these guys.
Yeah.
They're probably testing.
The ego legislation,
it's like an IQ test,
of, you know.
Yeah. That's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they're about
ready to the eco legislation, you know, because you know, you call a bill the Green New Bill, everyone's going to vote for it. It sounds good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they tempt you with a basket full of chocolates, and then they take it away later.
Yeah, or anything green, Greenpeace, it's good for the environment, and really it's just more restriction.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I think magic is very, very important. Magic is super important. And that's why I tell people, you know what, hey, if you can't do other things or get a lawyer or, you know, be a secure creditor if you can or whatever, it'd be best that you can as well. But do magic because we're magical. We're consciousness. We can shift reality anytime by not playing into their game and just by connecting with the archetypes, the entities, and say, hey, you know what, I want this to be shifted. And we have the power to do that. And what it is they use the medium as the media, you know, brainwashing, YouTube, everything that creates a lot of fear. And when you're in fear, what happens? You're in a low vibration. Mm-hmm. You can't act. You feel like paralyzed. You can't move. And but in the magician's mind, it's like, no worries. It's all in my head.
So remember,
quantum
mechanics. Yeah, you can handle anything.
String theory, you know. There you go.
Where energy, yeah, where your focus goes, energy flows.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if you have the intention and you have the thought of the plan in your head, how you want shit to go, and then you have the feeling in your heart of it already happening and you're experiencing it already, that's going to go tenfold. So that's what you propel out. And that's obviously how it works. So.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, it's really unfortunate that so many conspiracy theorists and truthers and everything are so superstitious when it comes to magic and the occult. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That ruins everything right there. They paint everything with the same brush. The same brush.
You
like,
know,
oh, I'm the Illuminati, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, well, the world's ran by all these sick people that like to do all these messed up things to little kids. Well, then what? Like, what are you going to do about it? You know,
yeah.
Like...
exactly. But oh, and it's Satan. It's all Satan. And it's like, well, use the power, use the force. You know, it's the force to combat all of that shit. And that's the thing. William was part of a group. It was a radionics group, and that's what they did. They sent out a lot of shit, like to the White House, all this stuff. They were sending out a bunch of stuff going on. And I'm like, oh, you know, kind of be careful with that. But there's just so many things that you can do to counteract it all, you know. That's what I found in
yeah,
my experience.
Yeah, so much.
Anyway.
Yeah, like I have a hunter-killer system, and a lot of people do. I have a couple of other defenses. And for anyone who doesn't know, that's the first box is three boxes. The first box is a power station. The second box looks for any potential threat before it happens, and the third box neutralizes that threat before it happens. But I made servitors for my hunter-killer system. And so,
oh,
like,
wow.
The hunter one, I spliced it with, like, all the demons from the Goetia that can see things before they happen and know about the future and future events.
Oh, beautiful.
And then the
yeah.
neutralizer, the killer one, I spliced it with Belial, Bael, Paimon.
Ooh, nice.
Vine, Glacia Lobolas, Larahe, like, you know, the vicious ones, you know, the strong ones.
yeah. Tear them up. That's great. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so the cool thing about using the servitors with the radionics, too, for one, it increases the strength of them. But the really cool thing is because a lot of people don't make their own radionics boxes and they can't afford to drop like thousands of dollars on like five or six of them. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you always got to repurpose your boxes. So when you make like the hunter killer system with servitors, you know, you can repurpose those boxes and you still have a hunter killer system running.
Wow. That's freaking tight. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's like conjuring up the Goetia on steroids, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. It magnifies it quite a bit. It's noticeable.
Yeah.
It's noticeable.
Yeah, that's powerful. That's very, very, very powerful. Yeah, I noticed because, like, when we had our radionics, everything was freaking awesome, you know, and then all of a sudden they started breaking, and then all of a sudden I started getting backlash, not from the radionics, but the fact that we were so protected for so long, and then we didn't have it anymore, and then we were just getting all the attacks just started coming, boom, 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 and I'm like, shit, this, I have to friggin' turn this around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I know, and I finally fixed it all and everything's fine now. I'm really grateful, but gosh, it's very powerful. I haven't been able to get any radionics boxes. I don't know what happened. I got one from one guy. It was like, it was called the magic box. It was real small,
yeah.
Little radionics. I think you've seen them before. And I had like a few of those suckers around the house.
Yeah.
But I don't know what happened to him. I think he just stopped selling them or something, but they're pretty powerful.
Did you get that from Dr. Mulder?
I think that I don't know if it was from Mulder, but it was from another guy. Brad,
okay.
Yes, that was his name.
Yeah.
And I had it sent over here, but it seemed to be a little – oh, go ahead.
He's still around, but I don't think he makes those particular boxes anymore, but he's still around. He might if you request for it, but he's still around. He works with J.S. Garrett a lot. He sells a lot of his boxes through J.S. Garrett right now.
Okay, okay. Awesome. Have you ever heard from that guy? What's his name? Uncle
Chucky?
Uncle something. Yeah, Uncle Chucky.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. William loved Uncle Chucky.
Dude,
what do you
Uncle
think
Chucky's
of that guy?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this one time.
He's so funny,
he was doing an interview with Brad, and he was talking about this one guy that screwed him over really bad, you know? And then Brad was like, oh, yeah, what happened to him? And then Chucky gets all serious. He's just like, he died.
<You know? laughs> He died. He acts like such a big kid, too.
Yeah. You got to be careful
who
you mess with, man. You don't know what people are capable of.
Yeah, it's very scary. Trust me, I know. And I was in one of those groups, but I didn't really, you know, hang out, like, mingle much. I just kind of observed to see what was going on. But I was like, eh, you know, got to be careful. But, it's very powerful shit. I mean, yeah, radon can really, really screw somebody up big time, along with
know,
the power of the dark entities and the Goetia. Forget about it, man. It's insane. Very insane stuff. But that's how I say, you know, that's the way is, you know, if you're just new in magic for our listeners out there, you know, just start off, you know, kind of, you know, small and work your way up. You know, I didn't start with Wicca. I started with the modern magic book by Donald Michael Craig when I was 17 years old. And that got me involved in the Kabbalah. At 17, I started learning straight high magic in the beginning. And from there.
Yeah, that book was really influential on people. That one was like everyone's cornerstone back in the day. You know, that was the book that kind of got people really working.
Oh yeah, got them off the chairs and really got in there to start working it. You know, I mean, it was really, really, really powerful. But I have to say, from my experience, working with demons has been like, I mean, I'll tell you right now, like not too long ago, I just started working with Belial a couple weeks ago. I've been working with Azazel for I don't know how long, since 2014. Then I just say, you know, I'm gonna work with someone else. And I realized Belial and Azazel, they work together anyway. Didn't want to get them all jealous. And finally, you know, worked with him. And I tell you, within 2 weeks, all of a sudden, it's just been insane. Like I said, okay, you know, help me with my business. You know, help me to find the people that really want to be secure creditors and all that. You know, bring a bunch of folks. And I kid you not, it's like a freaking windfall this month. It's been insane. So insane that I had to turn people away and say, look, you know what? Sign up for June's class. It hasn't been so insane in a few years. It's been that crazy. And Belial has been just amazing. And before I made a pact with him, because I made a pact with Azazel years ago, I made a pact every year. But before I made a pact with Belial, I ended up connecting with him first. I said, you know, I'm going to go into meditation. I'm going to connect with your symbol, and I want to feel your energy. And sure shit, when I went into meditation, I felt it was really intense. I felt like my heart was going to stop. It was that crazy. And so when I got up for my meditation, I'm like, wow, what the hell was that, right? I go over, I go to my husband in the studio, and then all of a sudden I walk to the library, and I was looking at a bunch of books, and I got my Kabbalistic Encyclopedia by Godwin. I haven't touched that shit in a long time. I picked that freaking book up. I opened it up, clean open. I didn't even go through the pages, and sure shit, what appears? The symbol of Belial, and I did it right in front of my husband. He's like, whoa. I was like, damn, he's powerful. Holy moly.
Yeah.
He's like so insane. Yeah.
It, you know, it's not even just the spirit, though. You know, it's also just the nature of this realm. It's interactive. It communicates with us on a really deep level. But we've been taught to ignore it and that it's just your imagination, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you put that up. You pointed that about we were taught to ignore it, because that reminds me of what I was going to say earlier, and I kind of had a brain fog there. Our ancient ancestors worked with these spirits. before the Roman Catholic Church came and massacred everyone. They worked with those spirits. They didn't see them as demons. The word demon or devil comes from the Christian Bible. So they were just gods. They were just these entities that they worked with. A lot of them are very, very ancient, going all the way back to Sumeria, even beyond that. And they were so used to working with these energies and entities, and they had so much freaking power. And I think what happened was possibly the Roman Catholic Church were like freaking out, and they're like, oh my God, these people are so powerful. We're going to have to brainwash them, because if they continue doing their magic, they're going to freaking kill us, you know? And I don't know. I mean, that was just an idea. But the thing is, our family, our ancient ancestors all over the world have been working with these entities for a very long time. And now it seems like they're now coming out. They're becoming more popular, especially with E.A. Cuetting coming out, you know, being very, very public about it, when a lot of this information was very, very hidden, because you'd be looked at as like a psychotic Satanist and stuff. So a lot of this information, you know, it's time. It's just time for people to come back to who they are and gain that power back, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people are waking up right now and learning about the true nature of this realm. You know, like a lot of people are, and like we're even seeing like ether physics starting to come back a little bit. You know, a lot of people are starting to learn more about the ether, and I think that's pretty much how magic works. You know, because here's the thing: like if you create a thought form in your head, how can that thought form create change in someone else's life 3,000 miles away? I mean, magic is so real; you can literally take people out with it. So how can a thought form go 3,000 miles away in an instant? You know, like as fast as the internet works, boom, in an instant, and change someone else's life. Mm-hmm. Like there has to be a background medium for that thought form to travel through.
Right. Definitely. So I was wondering, do you train in magic? Are you training others right now or helping others?
No, I thought about it. I just now finally like stopped being lame and trying to make some content and stuff, and I wasn't very good at making content, so I'm like, you know, maybe I should just do some interviews. That would probably be a little bit easier.
Well, hey, there's always ChatGPT that can help you with your course formation format. I'm telling you, I was hearing about that AI thing, ChatGPT. I mean, it's really helpful to get your outline going and it makes your outline really pretty and stuff. But, you know, you have such knowledge. You should go out and train people. You know, because I tell you, that's what I say. I say, you know, people are like, you know what, I don't know. And even some of the folks that I train in the secure creditor world, I mean, their mindset is, I'm not saying all of them, but I'm grateful I'm getting a lot of magicians, though. That helps. I love having magicians secure creditors because they know what the frick's going on, right? But the ones that aren't, they're such victims. They're like, oh my God, they're so victimized. And I don't blame on them. They just never had the training. And I'm like, maybe you need to go into magic first before you come this way, you know, come this route, because you're more empowered, you know?
Yeah, the victim thing is you know, I notice it so much. And even with people that don't have like a stereotypical like victim mindset, they still have it. You know, like so many people, like they don't even know that they can change their body's health by changing their diet.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I was trying to pull my headset out so my husband can hear you, but I guess I couldn't hear you. What a bummer. But yeah, I mean, everything, it's all combined, you know, changing diet, changing the way that you think and who you are. But I really believe that, I mean, the first thing that people should really learn, I mean, before anything, because I believe it was magic that got me to learning about the secure creditor. I mean, I wasn't connected to Azazel then. I just meditated a lot. And that was my thing. I decided, you know, I'm going to start meditating and see what the hell this is all about. And I started using HoloSync. I meditated for 4 months, and then I became really known on YouTube in 2008. I'm like, holy shit, all these things start happening, like all these crazy synchronicities. And before I know it, I'm like known as a spiritual celebrity. I had no idea what the hell that was. And it wasn't until later on, years later in 2014, when I found out about E.A. Cuetting, I'm like, holy cow, I'm just that way. I'm not scared. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to do it. And the moment I made a pact with Azazel, I didn't talk to my first daughter that was taken away from me since she was 4 years old. All these freaking years, I've done every other magical system. I've done Santeria, Yoruba. I've done freaking Western, you know, ceremonial magic. I've done it all. Nothing. nothing happened. All these gurus that said they were going to help, it never worked. The moment I freaking did a pact with Azazel, within 6 to 8 months, she freaking contacts me. Out of all this time, and then the ex-wife that was with my ex-husband at the time, I mean, well, they were married, and then she ended up cheating on him. Everything went back on him because I told Azazel, I want everything to come back on their asses, everything they've ever done. And sure shit, everything went back on everybody really bad.
That's all you got to do is just bounce it back, because obviously, just like you said yourself, if you send out bad stuff, it's going to come back at you. So basically, you just send back what they send at you. Just build a shield and bounce back. And whatever shit they throw at you, they're going to get it back anyway. It's how the universe works, really. It prefers that way, instead of having to pull out all your guns and waste more energy, because it takes energy to create magic.
Yeah.
It takes your energy for your focus. It takes energy for you to have that feeling in your gut, your heart, and all that stuff. And it does, it wears you down. But, yeah, just all your intention is send it back.
Yeah, it's just easier that way to send it back. I've done some things that I didn't expect that would happen. One time there was an experience where this guy, he tried to cheat us. We sold our sailboat to this guy, and he tried to cheat us. He brought us down so freaking low, and we were so desperate, because I was like, man, we need to move out of this place, and we need this money. And he first agreed to $20,000, then he went down, and then all of a sudden my husband goes over there to meet with him. He goes, I'm sorry, I only have $14,000. Like, he totally tried to play, and I told my husband, no, get in the button, just come back home. Come back home. And then we talked about it, and I said, okay, he wants $14,000 worth of stuff. Let's take some of the stuff off the boat and bring it down to $14,000. So we brought down the dinghy, we took out the dinghy, the air conditioner, and all these things that we did.
Anything that wasn't nailed down, I took out.
Yeah, so then what happened was, and then while he was on his way, Darren was on his way back to the guy, I was so angry. I was so mad at him, because I knew what he was trying to do. He's like, why don't you just send the keys to the lawyers before I pay you the money? And I'm like, you know what? This guy's trying to steal money, steal our boat. So right away, I meditated. I tried to calm my nerves. That was the whole point, because that's what meditation's for, is to help you to be more clear-headed. Well, unfortunately, it didn't do that. It made the thought worse. And all I could do was see his head blow off, like explode or something, or like an oven blowing in front of his face. And I shit you not, my husband's going to tell you. And this is a true story, by the way.
Yeah, what really happened was that day I went down. I was hoping to meet with him. And then because he owns a restaurant on the Strip, and they said, well, him and his wife's in hospital. I went, well, what happened? He says, well, there was an explosion in the kitchen. It blew his ass across the room, and he's all burnt up. I'm not kidding. So I text his wife, I says, is this for real? Where he is? Because I thought they were trying to pull a fast one. I says, well, I'm sorry, I don't believe you, but if you can tell me which hospital you're at, I can come and see if he's okay. So she agreed. She says, because at first she was getting all uppity and, how dare you not believe me, blah, blah, blah. I says, I'm not being funny, but, you know, I explained to her. I says, well, you know, I thought you were trying it on, but she says, no, we're at this hospital. So luckily it was just up the road, so I jumped in the taxi. I went up there, and sure shit, here I see him all head to toe with cream. He's all burnt up and fucked up and
hair singed and everything.
And he says, he said, well, I was in the kitchen sorting the cooker out, and it just blew up and it shot my ass across the room. So
bad.
Wow.
This was magic. So
and then you called me, right?
And then when I called my wife, and she said, wow. Just minutes ago, I was thinking about that shit, and then boom. I go, well, hon, you made it reality. He's in hospital.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, well, see, the way that I did it, it was like, you know, I tried to calm down because I said, no, that's not right, whatever. And then I had like a meeting. I did a spiritual meeting. I go, okay, this is a meeting to order. Conjured up everybody. I conjured up Jesus. I conjured up everybody, God, Azazel, all the freaking archangels. I conjured everyone up, and I said, this is a meeting to order. Now, I need to know if this guy is trying to do a fast one, let him have it. If he's guilty, let him have it. If he's not, then don't. Then it's just my fucking problem. Then I'm just being a baby, right? Sure shit, it was within the 20 minutes. My husband says, "Hun, did you just do something magical?" And I go, "What are you talking about?" And then he explained what happened. Like, oh my gosh. And he was a real crook. So anyway, we ended up giving him the boat, and then he went and got it. He found it. He was so pissed off and everything. And I'm like, well, you paid exactly what you got, what you paid for.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's powerful shit. I mean, it's all mind over matter.
I had a buddy up in Bellingham get a smoking deal on a sailboat just from like low bidding like that, you know. And it seems like the marine industry, that's a good way to flip, you know, some boats and make some money, because, you know, some of these like rich guys, like some of these millionaires, they're paying like $5,000-$10,000 a month to store a boat that they only use, you know, like 1 or 2 months a year, you know. And so you can always like December, like the middle of the winter, like December or something. You can low bid and get like a 40,000 boat for, you know, like 14,000, you know. If you're going to get a lot of people cussing you out, you know, so.
Yeah.
But I did that same thing with raw land. I got two parcels, 2 acres for $300.
Holy cow. That's amazing. $300 freaking dollars.
Yeah.
Wow, how the hell you do that? That's awesome.
I'll tell you right now, anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. So you just go on this website called this Agent Pro 247, and you figure out the area that you want to, you know, target. And Arizona has really cheap land. So does Texas. Uh-huh. A lot of places have cheap land. And so you go through the filter, and you want to get people that are behind on their taxes but have not lost their property yet. And then you want to go on Zillow after that and figure out how much the property would be worth in that area. And then you literally only bid 25% or 15%. Some people bid 10% of what the property is actually worth. And you send out 100 bids, you know, you get like 90, you know, you get like 90 people that just throw it away, and then you get like 10% back.
Oh, wow.
And it pretty much works for anything, but with land, it works really good. Yeah, anyone can do it.
Wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing. Yeah, boats are very expensive, though. Oh my God, there's just a lot of maintenance. And we had two boats. We had a 55 footer Starbro, and we had a sloop, a 35 foot sailboat sloop. It was beautiful. It was a nice experience because we lived right on the island of Isla Mujeres. And the water is just so clear, but the whole energy around other boat people there, like a lot of pirates, you know what I mean? It's like a whole, for a whole other world, man. Yeah. It was like, I don't know about, it was kind of fun for a few years though. Then I'm like, okay, let's just sell it. It's a little too much, you know? And, but it was an experience, you know, that's what we're here for, experience. But, yeah, I mean, the reason why magic works is because it's all based on quantum mechanics and string theory, that we're all consciousness and we're actually all connected. You know, it's all connection. We're all one, really. I mean, maybe we might not want to believe that, but when you go into nirvana, you actually see that we're all one. It's really freaky. And so a lot of the things that are going on outside of us are just projections of our inside, of our mind.
See, in this realm, all there is just you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is just aspects of you experiencing different quantum fields. So, yeah, we are all connected. I mean, it's when you think, well, you could be arguing with some person in the street, but really when you think about it, you're arguing with yourself.
Yeah, projection.
Or you're having a fight with yourself or whatever. It's all part of the projection.
Yeah, you know what's funny? You ever heard the term, like, what you resist will persist?
Yes, I say that all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the person you hook up with, like your significant other, is like you oftentimes the part of yourself that you reject and resist the most, and it's like nature's way of putting it in the mirror in front of you to force you to deal with that problem.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah, it is very true. It is such a learning experience.
Yeah, it's like the universe has a thing about saying, well, yeah, you haven't done this week's homework, so you're going to have to deal with it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in a way, you just learn to be more conscious and you become more aware, and that's why I'm like more of a, you know, if any attacks or anything, I just send it right back. It's just easier. It's less energy. And, you know, it depends, but it also depends on the situation. Like, if you're in a really bad situation, that person wants to come after and try to hurt you and your family, then you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But even that energy, you can throw it back anyway, and it will destroy them.
It seems like when a magician curses you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like when a magician curses you and you reverse it, it seems like you get it, like, you bypass a lot of their protection, too. It seems like when you reverse a curse, it seems like I said, it's always a direct hit. It always nukes them.
Exactly. Exactly. That's, reversing a curse is a lot harder than just shielding it and then sending it back. But, brain fart. What was I just saying there?
You were saying that you're reversing a curse, or?
No, it was before that. I was going to make a valid point. Back up just before you said that, can you remember what I said? I hate it when that happens.
God, I forgot. Like, I know you're talking about reversing and sending it back.
Yeah, because we're all connected, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what you sow is what you reap. And that's just another way of how the universe works. It's always watching out, and it always goes back to the main universal law is you can't mess with free will. But it doesn't mean to say that you cannot trick them into thinking that they should be making this choice, which is what's happened to the populace of this realm with everybody else these days of what's happening. They're tricking you into thinking this way. They're putting you into a position. Oh, yeah, we can give you this, but if you don't do this, you're not going to get nothing. Well, that's not how we work. Because obviously understanding magic, I mean, this is what we do. This is why we do what we're doing, because we need to get this information out to the world, because they need to realize you can do this as well. Stop being afraid of the bullshit that's being put towards you just because the government says this, the government says that. Really, the government does not give a shit about you or anybody else. So they're just being... They're playing the fear factor. But yet again, they do all this magic. I mean, I'm sure you've heard about CERN.
They're more obsessed.
They're more obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
Than anybody.
Dude, I think CERN is a giant radiation
machine,
things. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Giant radionics machine. I mean, shit. We got two little ones.
Dude.
We got a big one. And then...
Do you know there's over 30,000 Hadron Colliders? Did you know there's over 30,000 of those things?
Yeah,
and a bunch of them are in America.
30,000 Hadron Colliders.
Yeah, they're all over the world.
So there's not just that one in Sweden. Shit.
No.
I didn't know about that.
They got,
that's something
I didn't
I've
either
just
until I learned about it. Yeah.
That's probably where I noticed there's a lot of, what do you call it, a lot of Mandela effects have been happening. Because I think their system has been jumping through wormholes and taking us through it all. And then people have been saying, oh, well, it's not this, it was this. I remember this way.
Oh, the Mandela effect.
Yeah, because of the Mandela effect. But what's happening is there's two realms, two timelines that's intertwining together. That's why you're noticing things. That's why you're seeing things now and realizing. And then you have the opposition or somebody that saw or understanding something different is because from they're from the new timeline. And if you're from the old timeline, then there's only one way you can tell a difference if who's from which timeline. If you're from the old original timeline, you will remember your heart is slightly off center to the left, right? You'll get some people these days now saying it's in the center.
Mm-hmm. That's the new age.
That's the new timeline. The kidneys are like higher up now too, I think. And
The kidneys are higher up. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, in the stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the continents have changed too. Like, you remember back when the Panama Canal used to go from east to west? Now it practically goes from north to south.
The Panama Canal goes from north to south.
Yeah.
Since when? It goes through the freaking country, right through east to west. It goes through the middle.
Well, it used to. The South America kind of moved over like a couple of time zones.
Time zones sounds like a different freaking realm.
Wow, that's crazy.
Nuts.
You know, so one thing with the Mandela effect, too, I was talking about this realm is like interactive and how it communicates with us. I think some of the Mandela effects communicate with us too. Like, some people think that it's the creator trying to communicate with us. But it's weird to ponder, you know, because I think even the Quran has a passage in it where it talks about the jinn have the ability to go back in time and change things, but they don't have the ability to change our memory.
Wow.
Yeah. There's that also as well. But obviously, I think it's to do with things like CERN and the Hadron Colliders and all this kind of stuff, because I believe in the science, like, has the ability to make everybody jump at once. It's like the whole, I'm not going to say planet because it's not a planet, it's a realm. This is what I believe. But that's for another story. But I think everybody goes through it, and that's where you get the Mandela effect, and then you get the split belief systems of, oh, it was Berenstein, or it was what's the other big one, the monkey woman.
Oh my gosh, Jane Goodall.
Jane Goodall.
Is she still alive?
And my favorite one, which I stick by today, if you think back in the day, I'm not sure what year it was. It was either late 80s, early 90s, maybe. I remember, you know, Bigfoot and Henderson's. Now it's called Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah, but I remember
the big
Bigfoot.
One for me was Ed McMahon. You know, because like
Ed McMahon.
So I was born in 82. Yeah, that was the big one for me because like I was born in 82, so I don't know Ed McMahon from the Johnny Carson show. I never watched that when I was a kid. I only know Ed McMahon from Publishers Clearinghouse giving out those checks, but apparently he's never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse.
What? I remember him working for Publishers Clearinghouse. What?
He was even on like Roseanne and like Married with Children and stuff, handing them checks. You know, and there's a lot of residue about Ed McMahon.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Well, there you have it. I mean, it's happening all over with different ideas, different things. I mean,
and there's another thing that just recently I realized. I don't know if you remember Little Caesar's Pizza, but to me, Little Caesar's Pizza was squared. They were always squared pizzas. And we're recently getting these pizzas for the past year, Caesar's, and they're rounded. And I'm like, what? Wait a second. That's just kind of fucking weird. I've always remembered them being squared pizzas.
Yeah, they were square. I remember now.
It was really weird.
Back
I don't
in
know
the
if
day,
you remember
the,
that.
Yeah, the Bigfoot back in the day was squared. It was like a double-sized pizza that was squared.
Yeah. It was all like squared pizzas. That's all I remember, Little Caesars, you know. They were always a little different, and they were so freaking good. And the ones we were getting recently were like, shit, like, what the hell happened? But, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things. So we're just going through a lot of time jumps. So that just goes to show that, you know, quantum physics is definitely, you know, in place. And this is changing everything. This is changing the system, and that's why the old system's falling apart, because they can't keep up with it.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more differences where people are going to start noticing things even more than so ever, because even though we know now, there's a lot of people waking up to the elite's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot out there that is still dormant, believing in the government, but that's neither here nor there for us. But those that are ready and awake are hearing the call.
Yeah.
And they can understand, and they can debate. They can stand up and say, well, look, hang on, wait a minute. I remember it was this way.
Mm-hmm.
So we can identify who was actually in the original timeline to who's been brainwashed or who's in the new timeline, that even though we could be, like, say, for example, you could be married for, like, 20 years, it's the same woman you wake up with every morning, but at the same time, one day she says something different, out of character. I think, well, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that means you've just crossed into her new timeline from your old timeline.
Yeah, that's pretty strange. You know, that's why all this stuff
timelines.
Is really...
Oh, you can go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, no,
for it. Yeah, my girlfriend and I, we basically just jumped timelines moving out to Utah, and it's so weird how it happened. Like, I was walking my – so I worked in a bar, you know, so I'd always, like, walk my dog at night, like, 12 o'clock at midnight, because we lived out in a rural area that had, like, two lakes and everything. So I was walking my dog, and I find this free bin, and there was, like, this like a really old compound bow, you know. And I was like, oh, sweet. So I took it home, and I started goofing around with it. And then I eventually got, like a real compound bow. And so then, you know, thinking about hunting and everything, and I looked up online, like, what state had, like, the most – what counties basically had the most elk in it. And Utah was number two on the list. And so I it was just so weird. Like, finding this old junk compound bow in this garbage bin led to me getting into archery, getting into hunting, and moving to Utah. And it all happened within, like, a year or two, you know. But it all started with that little compound bow, you know?
Interesting. So it just all brought you to where you need to be. I mean, that's the same thing that happened to us to coming over here to Mexico, this part of Mexico. Weird synchronicities just driving you to be where you need to be.
Yeah.
Like, the more aware you
become
and
Mexico,
the more
too.
You're... Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, Mexico's really awesome. I mean, that's where a lot of people are leaving to anyway. It's the only place where... They never asked for PCR tests or anything to travel here. And I tell you, you have this sense of freedom that you never had before. And all of the stuff that you've been programmed in the United States about, oh, my God, when a cop goes by, you're like, oh, my God, we got to be careful. We got to drive good. You know, we still kind of act like that sometimes. But really, the cops are just like, they drive right past you. They're fine. You know, it's like it's a completely different world. And a lot of the people, they'll even honk at the cops to move out of the way. It's a whole different world. You have so much freedom.
Yeah, that's completely different than out here.
And then you go to the States, and then it's like, whoa, completely different. Everything is about fines. You can't even, you know, go to the lake and camp because, or else you're going to be fined, or, you know, it's just everything. It's like you don't have that sense of freedom, and that's why we always end up coming back here, and life has just been so much better, and especially living by the in the Yucatan, where you're right surrounded by a lot of the Mayan pyramids, you're in a synchronic zone, which is also known as ley lines. And that's where they all put these temples. And that's where a lot of things tend to manifest so quick, so much quicker. And when we were living in Cancun, things didn't manifest as fast. But when we were more into the Yucatan on the other side, it's just insane. Just insane. Like, oh my gosh, you do some magic, you're going to start seeing things happening. I mean, it's like your Mayan pyramids are your radionics surrounding you, you know? Really cool.
Now, do you think the ley lines are just naturally there, like fixed where they're at? Or do you think that people kind of like dialed into the electromagnetic grid of the earth and kind of created like a ley line, sort of like you would with a crystal grid?
I don't know. I mean, I think it could have been both. I think that they actually, it could have been something that was happening already, but I think that they emphasized it even more, that it advanced. But I do believe either way that the people, I mean, we ourselves are walking portals anyway. So we can create our own like portals and all of that. But it is interesting though, when you're in the middle of portals and the synchronic lines that have already been around for so many ages, like even in Seattle, Washington, my gosh, I've manifested so many amazing things, like within days and weeks, you know, like very quick. And I'm like, what the hell? And then I find out that it's a lot of synchronic lines going through there. Just like in the place in Italy, there's a place called Dominor. I don't know if you heard of it, Dominor, or Damanhur. But they are their own federation. They have their own currency, and it's in Italy, and they are right on the vicinity of a shitload of ley lines, and they have caves and beautiful artwork inside. It's actually magnificent, but it's a very magical place. But I have yet, it's funny, I've been to Italy like a few times, but I have yet to go to that particular part. I mean, I really wanted to go check it out. Very magical place. But yeah, anywhere near the ley lines, and especially where all the churches are, that's where all the portals are too.
Have you looked into the churches of skulls? Like all these like Catholic churches, and I think a couple Orthodox churches all over like Europe, and I think there's a few here in America. They have like thousands and thousands of skulls, and they're all like stacked up underneath, like decoratively. They made like a completely bone and skull altar, and there's like a three-story like bone and skull like sculpture. Have you ever seen these?
No, I haven't.
Dude, you're gonna have to Google it, like Church of Skulls. You're gonna have to Google that.
Oh my gosh!
Sometime, it's creepy. But when you look at it, sit there and think about it for a second, but then ask yourself, how did they get the meat off those bones?
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Yeah, that's pretty freaky. So they're just these normal, elaborate churches or like Catholic or Orthodox churches, and they have all these skull and bones in there?
Underneath in the basements. No one even knew they were there. No one said anything. But when they were like renovating, you know, people went underneath and they're like, holy crap. Because it's not like a small amount of bones. It's like 30,000, 100,000. I think some of them have even more than that.
Well,
and
I know I heard about
the
catacombs.
It's not just one place.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
in France,
the catacombs.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we went to Roslyn Chapel. That was pretty freaking interesting. We didn't see any skull and bones there, but we went into certain parts, like the little crypt area, and we saw a lot of pentacles around there. I was like, oh, look at those pentacles. Okay, I know what that is.
How was the energy there? Did you feel it?
It was, you know, I didn't really feel as intense because I think there was just so many people that went through. But I'm going to tell you, the experience that I had, and I will never forget it, was when I went to the pyramids. I went to the Great Pyramid, and that changed my life forever. I've been through all types of pyramids here in Mexico. I've been to Thailand. I've been to freaking Peru. I mean, it was just like a normal feeling. But when I went to the freaking Great Pyramid of Egypt, man, right before I even – we were on the camel, and right before I even got to the pyramid, right before, I mean, we got so close, and it just looked beautiful. I was like, oh, this is so pretty, la, la, la. When I got closer and closer, the moment I looked at the pyramid, I started crying, and I started having this feeling of mourning, and my husband was filming me like, hey, say hi, and I go, no, turn that camera away from me now. I was really mad, and then when I went inside the pyramid, I was a mess. I was such a mess. I scared a lot of the people in there. They're like, oh, my God, I don't think I'm going to go all the way. See ya, like that, and then my husband's like, oh, no, no, she just needs water. That's all. She needs water. You know, she's real psychic and whatever, but she just needs water right now or whatever. And they're just all looking at me like I was a freak or like there's something wrong, you know. And I experienced a lot of like sadness and like as if I had family that died there or I don't know what it was. But when I got back from Egypt, I was completely different. I didn't feel the same. I have not felt the same since. It took me a while to gain back my balls, I guess, and to get my clarity back. It was really rough, and everybody that talked about the pyramids, it was like, you know, let me go check it out. Let me go see for myself, because I'll be skeptic until I feel something. And when I did, it changed my life. And the guy there, Muhammad, he said to us, he said, really, I want you to, you know, just stare at the pyramids. We were in Giza, and they had the view of the pyramids right there next to their apartment. So he goes, just sit there and just take in the energy first. Because he says, before you get in there, I'm going to tell you right now, it is too intense. You just need to try to sit with the energy, try to connect with it before you go in there. But we apparently didn't do that enough, and it was just, it was insane. So, yeah.
That one guy, Chris Geo and Shelly Geo, they did ayahuasca inside the pyramids, and they did like some crazy little ritual inside there. I think that was like a pretty cool thing to be able to do.
Pyramid? Holy moly. Oh my
goodness.
That
would have
been insane. Wow. How was the experience?
Well, they talk about it all the time on their radio show.
Ayahuasca, and they were allowed to do that there.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like the guy just like left them alone. They had the inside chamber to themselves.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Ayahuasca. That's insane. I never did ayahuasca yet. I really still want to go ahead and do that. Have you done it yet?
No, I've done a lot of DMT. I have a bunch of Akasha bark and Mimosa bark, but I haven't done ayahuasca yet. I was thinking about it, though, because we're out here in the desert now, so I think we're going to probably get some kapi seeds and do it up.
Yeah, I think, what I was hearing, it's just always good to have a good shaman there with you to help guide you in, to, you know, bring you into where you need to be, because it's extremely intense. But I heard it's very more gentle than DMT, though. DMT is very, very intense, or the frog, the bofa, that's very intense. I've never done that either. But I'm thinking, you know what, one of these days I want to do that, have a shaman. And we have a lot of shamans around this area. It's just trying to find the right shaman that you can trust that doesn't do anything crazy to you. You know, you got to make sure that they're...
Yeah, and someone who's like a real shaman, not just saying he's a shaman.
Yes. Yeah, exactly, because, you know, you never know. You can get taken advantage of. And we were thinking about doing it when we were in Peru, but at the time my kids were with us, and I'm like, that's not a good time. But I have a good friend there. I mean, he's our tour guide, and he says, yeah, you let me know, and then I'll hook you up with the right guy. I'll hook you up with the right shaman, you know. But there was so much crap going on over there, you know, before with the vaccines. It was insane. But now they just finally lifted it up. I'm so glad. They finally lifted up all that craziness.
Good.
In Peru. Yeah, you had to get boosters and everything just to get in. It was that bad.
That's awful.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You remember that the DMT servitor I told you about, how I made that servitor and I spliced it with the DMT plants? Well, a friend, a coworker at the bar that I worked at, they gave me a mushroom candy bar. And it's like broken up in these little pieces, you know, so you can microdose if you want or take half of it and, you know, fry pretty good. And so I took that chocolate bar and I programmed it with the DMT servitor. And then it was crazy because it kind of tunes you into that DMT spirit without being in such a state of awe, you know, because one of the things with DMT, it's so intense that you're in like the state of awe. So it's really hard to kind of like learn from it until the very end, and then it wears off. But programming the mushrooms with the DMT was pretty amazing. And because it lasts like 6 hours, 8 hours, you know, and it really tunes you into that spirit.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's insane. That's awesome though. So you had a better effect that way.
Yeah, completely changed the whole experience. Yeah, completely changed the whole experience.
Wow. That's awesome. And you said you added ayahuasca in there too? Or
well,
was it DMT?
I made the servitor and I spliced it with Mimosa hostilis bark and Akasha bark so that the servitor would induce DMT hallucinations and tune you into that DMT realm. And then so then I took that servitor and I spliced the mushroom candy bar with it.
Wow.
I was really surprised. I was really surprised that it worked as well as it did. Like, it worked really well.
Wow. Well, the only drug that I say that I actually enjoyed the most was ecstasy.
Yeah.
I love ecstasy because you feel so free. You don't feel so trippy. And then,
yeah. You know, one thing about mushrooms is, like, I always get, like, kind of depressed on them. I get that weird, gross feeling in my stomach. I don't really – I pretty much prefer Molly and Sass over mushrooms myself, too.